Well, good morning. Certainly glad to see everyone here today. A few minutes ago, Carol said, "How you doing?" I said, "Better than you." She kind of looked at me funny. I didn't elaborate, but I'm better than her because I'm the one up here running my mouth, and y'all have to sit here and endure this for a little bit. Good morning. I'm very glad to see everyone here this Sunday morning. I am sorry that Joe's out of town and you have to endure my first ever sermon. But some of you that know me may say that's a lie because you talk a lot, you like to talk, and you've talked your whole life, and you've been given sermons your whole life, just not on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'd say that's probably a true statement. But at any rate, I am humbled to be here today. Can't help but feel like the great Apostle Paul when he said he was chief among sinners in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. See, I'm really humbled to share God's word today. To stand up here at the pulpit, talk about our relationship with God and his only begotten Son, our Savior. Now, I'm not going to lie. My knees are shaking. And I'm nervous, and I tell you the truth. I've been on a helicopter in an X, riding over borders with my M4 and my hand grenades ready, and I've never been that nervous going into a firefight or a gunfight. But I'm nervous standing up here. Wonder if that's Satan trying to keep us from share the word of God, Of all things, we should be wanting to stand up and all of us and preach. So before we begin, pray with me, please. Our Father, we are so thankful for your grace and your great love for all of us, that you allowed your Son to be sacrificed on the cross for our sins. We know that we all fail and we all fall short, but we love you and we love Jesus, who you sent to us. We are so thankful for the Holy Spirit that's been sit down among us today, and we're thankful for the Bible that we have to study your word. And we pray that today's lesson will be edifying to each and every one, and that it's taught in accordance with your word, with your holy word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Some of the kids have went out, but I bet they know what I'm going to talk about. Stop, drop, and roll. What's that?
Fire, fire,
fire. Fire, fire. Danger, danger, danger. Stop, drop, and roll. We're taught that in an early age. It tells us to be danger of fire, be danger of being burned, the danger of death. Our children learn it at an early age. I'm sure all of you remember hearing it over the years. I'm not sure when I first heard it, but I know when I caught on fire, it was in my mind. So I'm going to tell you a story from when I was about 16 years old. Some of you may know, Bob doesn't believe it. We've got to show him the pictures, might even have it on video. But Mom used to ride motorcycles. And she used to ride it to church sometimes. And she had a 1963 BMW 500. And that was the first motorcycle I had to ride to high school. Because my dad had a 61 Hog FLH, and he wouldn't let me ride his Harley. He said, "You don't have enough experience. You need to ride this 500 for a while." So I rode that to school. Went to Votech early on the morning. It was a nice bike, and in the wintertime, it even had a lower fairing that you could put on. And see, a BMW has horizontal cylinders that go out in a 90-degree angle with the foot pegs underneath them. So my cowboy boots would be on them pegs underneath the cylinder and a carburetor sitting on top. And then in the wintertime with this, you got the normal fairing that had a lower wraparound fairing. So it made it really warm, You'd be snowing, be out riding. It really kept your legs and feet warm. Well, I went to Votech, so I'd have to be at school early. And it was a December, January, maybe February, but it was a cold day, really cold day. And a couple things with that motorcycle. One, it had a float that would stick. And if you've got a sticky float, what do you have? You got gasoline that pours out of it, runs back out of the carburetor. And the crossover pipe running the exhaust pipes together was kind of back there where anything coming out of the carburetor would blow on it, where it was positioned right under the frame. Well, it had a hole rusted through it. And my dad told me, you need to fix that hole. But I didn't want to fix it because I was 16. And I liked that pop, pop, pop that motorcycle made. Because I'd get on it, and then I'd shut that throttle down, and it'd pop, 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 you know, and make a bunch of noise. And I thought, boy, that sounds cool. So I'd rev it up before I shut it down. Well, that morning I was going to school, and I got down to the junction of 5 and Y, and shut her down, pop, 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 pop. But I was sitting there waiting on cars. What I didn't realize was that gasoline was coming out of that carburetor soaking my boot and my britches leg. Well, boy, I got on it coming up the hill going east, probably going faster than I should have been because there used to be a stop sign up there. And I come right up there, got on top of the hill, and I like to have that thing wide open and then shut her down so I'd wake everyone up in the morning when I was going to catch a Votech bus. Pop, pop, pop. Well, it went pop, pop, pop all right. And I went to take off, and I looked down. And I noticed not only my boot was on fire, but so was my britches leg. So I pulled over in the ditch, laid it down this lady's yard. What I do, first thing I did is I jumped off the motorcycle, stopped, drop, and roll. It worked. It put the fire out. Motorcycle was still on fire, though. Gasoline now coming out. And I'd saw all those movies with things blowing up, and I didn't know what to do. I wanted to go shut the gas valve off, and they didn't have a kill switch on them old motorcycles. And the BMWs, you had to reach way up forward around the headlights, shut them off. So I was going to have to run up there, lean over, and reach in to shut it off. But gas kept coming out, flames were going. Some poor lady come out in her yard, and she just, oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord, you know, should I call the fire department? And meanwhile, you know, I was rolling around when she came out. Got the fire put out, but I was more scared of that motorcycle blowing up or burning up because it was Mom's motorcycle, and, you know, I'm 16, so I run back in the fire, and I shut it off. Didn't hurt me any, just the embarrassment. So I stood it up, cranked around on it for a while because laying tilted over like that, the other carburetor was flooded, had dual carbs. Well, I got it started up, rode to school, parked it. That boot never would hold polish after that. And that night when I got home from school, I did what Dad told me to begin with. I fixed that exhaust pipe underneath there. With exhaust tape or something, you know, until we could get around and get it welded up. But that's my stop, drop, and roll story. And the moral of that is it worked, because I remembered that. It kept the fire from spreading, and I didn't get burned. So today, you know, we're going to go to the book of James, if you'd like to turn over there. And because that's on my mind, we just finished it. That's what we've been studying in the boys' class on Wednesday nights and on Sundays. And you know, James, the brother of Jesus, tells us how to save our life so we don't get burned. In fact, so we don't burn for eternity. So what if when tempted, we would just remember to stop, drop, and pray? So today I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about temptation. So grab your Bibles, if you will, and let's turn to James, beginning in chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed about by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Has anyone in this room ever had trials or temptations? Has any of us ever stumbled? Have we ever did something that we knew we shouldn't be doing, but we went ahead and did it anyway? And then have we felt guilty afterwards? And have we ever been tested in our faith? I'm sure we all have. And how many of us want to handle the world by ourselves? I'm probably chief at that. I like to do it all by myself. And I don't want to, you know. Some of us are just stubborn that way. Prefer not to ask for help and do everything on our own. To our own detriment. But we don't want to ask for help, or we don't need anyone, we think. Well, that's one thing in our daily life, but we have that same problem. I believe it carries over in our spiritual life. We have trials, temptations, we stumble, we fall, but we don't want to go to brothers and sisters in Christ and ask them to pray with us or to help us. Maybe we feel guilty, maybe we're ashamed, or maybe we're just prideful. But my question today is real simple. What if, before we said a word in anger, do something we shouldn't do, gossip about someone, or whatever that sin might be, what if we would just stop and pray? I'm saying stop, drop, and pray. Maybe you need to drop to your knees. Maybe you need to fall prostrate on the ground before the Lord. Or maybe you just need to go into a closet and pray in private. Maybe you just need to pray when you're driving down the road or when you're working. But we're to pray continuously. But we're told we need to pray. Would we still do that act, whatever it is, if we would just stop ahead of time and pray? Jesus told us in James, the first chapter, and verse 6, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Have we ever prayed but not really earnestly had the faith that God's going to do what he wants to do? Take time to pray. Again, pray alone. Pray in private. Pray in groups. Pray with others. Pray as a family. But with honesty and with belief. You know, I think back and over my lifetime, and many of my prayers have been answered over the years. I look back and see prayers that I give when I was 11, 12 years old. And they were answered. They were answered the way I asked for them. It may have took 40 years, but they were answered. Sometimes I look back, some of my prayers weren't answered. Or I didn't think they were. But then I have to look back and see, what was my motive for that prayer? Was it self-interest? Or was it what I wanted? Or was it God's will, that his will be done? And sometimes I'm reminded of that song when I look back at all the different prayers I had over the years some of them that were not answered. And I remember that song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Have you ever prayed for something earnestly and in faith that it would happen and then it didn't? And 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, we look back and we're like, boy, I'm sure glad the Lord didn't answer that prayer the way I wanted it. Okay. It takes years. I've heard Mary say this, Sister Mary sitting back there in the back. It takes many years to learn to pray. And many of you know that. Many of you have learned that. Read the scriptures. Meditate and pray. And again, what if, before we give into the world for our trials and temptations, we take time to pray? Now turn with me now, still in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Sometimes I think we just need to step back and remind ourselves all temptations come from our own evil desires, which ultimately come from the devil. And how can we resist the devil if not with the Lord? Who among us can resist the devil if not for Jesus? Remember when Jesus went into the wilderness to begin his ministry after he was baptized by John the Baptist. And he went out for 40 days, 40 nights. He went out into the desert. And remember who went with him? Satan. And Satan offered him the whole world. You know, different things. You know, throw yourself, you know, down from the temple. Turn the rocks into bread, the stones into bread. And finally, I'll give you the whole thing. You'll be in charge of the king of every country in the world. You can have it all. If you'll do what? Worship me. Break up God's plan. Remember what Jesus told him? But if you recall, Jesus quoted scriptures. And Jesus prayed. It says he went into the desert to pray. And Jesus quoted scriptures to the devil. So if Jesus quoted scripture and prayed, I think that's a pretty good example that we're not Jesus, so we definitely need to be familiar with what the scripture says. We need to study it, we need to meditate on it, and we need to pray. And if again, if we do not pray, how can we resist? I'm afraid too many times we end up just praying for forgiveness of our sins. We say, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for that. But forgive me for all these sins. Okay? But what if we stopped and we prayed before we did that sin, as I mentioned a few minutes ago? Then we wouldn't have the guilt. Then we wouldn't have to be asking for forgiveness. Just something to ponder. But James here gives us all the tools we need to pray and gain strength and knowledge before we sin, keeping us from going there. And prayer also gives us strength in time of need and affliction. James chapter 1 and verse 22 tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. It's real easy to pick this book up and to read it and to look at it philosophically, but we don't do what it says. James tells us we have to do what it says. In chapter 4, and starting in verse 7, again, James instructs us to submit ourselves to God in order to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. So if we don't want to be tempted, I mean, God doesn't lie. So if we submit to God, then he's going to come to us. But what's the counter of that? If we refuse to submit to God, is he going to draw near us? No, he won't. And if God doesn't draw near, then the devil won't flee. So then who's going to be in control of your life? In order to draw near to God and resist the devil, we must study the Bible. We need to worship in spirit and in truth, and we must pray correctly, the way God wants us to pray to him, with full faith. And lastly, in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that vapors for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. James gives some very sound judgment and instruction right there. The theme's the same. If we know what's right, we have to do it. Didn't the great Apostle Paul write that as well? And he struggled with that. He says, I know what's right. Why can't I do it? You know. And he also, remember what else Paul wrote concerning grace? Rather, should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Forbid it not. Or certainly not, depending on which translation you have. If you know what's right, do it. And James tells us right here to encourages us, and I encourage all of you as we go home this week to just read James. It's a short book. But to stop, to drop, and to pray, and that will keep you from burning in the fire. You know, as we get ready to close in James chapter 1 and verse 12, it is written, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test of time, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So before I offer the invitation, where I ask if anyone's in need of prayer of the church, or if you've not been saved, and that means you've repented of your sin, which means you changed direction. You quit doing what you're doing and you go the other way. You become baptized. That's dipped in the water with full immersion, and you're raised again in newness of life, where you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you'll be added to the number of the saints. Before we offer that invitation, I want to tell a story that I heard a long time ago. A lot of you probably heard it, but I think it's worth retelling. Because we just talked about James saying we're boasting about tomorrow. And I've had A lot of friends tell me, well, I know what this says I ought to do, but I'm just not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet. Not ready to take that step. Well, the devil had a meeting down in hell with three of his demons. And the devil, Satan, the evil one, said, you know, them Christians up there, they're doing a pretty good job spreading the word, the gospel, the good news. And more people's getting baptized and saved every day. So we're going to have a meeting here and figure out how we can get more people to burn in hell with us for eternity. Well, the first demon says, devil, I've got an idea. I'll go up on the earth, I'll masquerade, and I'll tell everybody there is no God. It's just a feel-good thing. There's plenty of morals out there to follow, but there is no God. And that will get a lot more souls in hell. And the devil said, I like that idea. Go ahead and do that. And the second demon says, well, I'll go up on the earth and I'll tell all the people that there is a God. And he's a loving God. And his grace knows no bounds. And that's all true. But I'll go ahead and tell people, but you can do whatever you want. Because surely you won't go to hell. A loving God would not send you to hell. Besides, there is no hell. That devil's just a boogeyman story that was made up to scare little kids. And that's what I'll tell people. Well, the devil liked that, and he said, yeah, you go ahead on up there and you tell that story, and we'll get even more people with us down here. But that third demon, he was pretty smart. He said, devil, I'll tell you what. I'll go up on the earth, and I'll tell the truth. And the devil said, say what? Tell the truth. I'm the father of all lies. He's like, no, devil, I got to tell the truth, and then people will believe it. But I'll add a little twist. And the devil says, well, go on. He said, I'll go up on the earth and I'll tell everybody. There is a God and there is a devil. There is a heaven and there is a hell. But then I'll tell them, but you don't have to make up your mind right now. You got all the time in the world. And their world might end that day. And the devil says, I like that. Because we can get everybody in hell if they won't take that step. So, if you've not put on Christ in the water grave of baptism, or if you just need prayers of the church, your brothers and sisters, I'd ask that you come forward while we stand and sing.